Mr. Nieslaus, just how rare is the gene that gives spirit bears their distinctive snow white coats?
Yeah, I would say the spirit bear is extremely rare. I would say it's probably one of the rarest bears on the planet. And through our latest research, we found out it's a lot more rare than we thought. And I think, you know, in the past, there used to be guesstimates about 400, but this new study shows that there are probably fewer than that.
How did you go about finding that out? What did you do exactly?
Well, we launched a bear study probably 8 years ago now, and we set up these non-invasive snags. Where basically what we do is we put a big scent pile in the middle, a bunch of sticks, and we put a bunch of barbed wire around that scent pile. The bears would come in, go underneath the barbed wire, and they would basically leave a tuft of their hair, and then we would send that hair into the lab and analyze. And we could find out whether, in that piece of fur, whether that bear carried the recessive gene in order to produce spear bears.
What did that smell like?
The scent is not the most pleasant smelling. Some of it could smell like fish. Some of it is a mix of different things, but extremely stinky.
How many spirit bears have you seen in your time as an ecotourism guide in BC?
Ooh, that's hard. It varies every year. I mean, I've had some years where probably my best year I saw 11 in 1 year, and others, some seasons, sometimes you'll see zero. So they're extremely rare and right place, right time, and so it varies.
Was there a time that you doubted their existence?
Yes. Yeah. When I first started guiding, I remember my very first tourism trip and early 2000s. And I remember the guy I was working with at the time said, go off and look for the spirit bear. I had a bunch of clients with me our first tourism trip. And I just thought he was making up stories. He never heard about it in my community. My community never really talked about it. And I thought they were just pulling my leg. And so as I was out there kind of walking in the forest, I just thought they were trying to pull my leg, and so I went off and just went for a walk in the woods, and a few minutes into the trek, I basically almost came face to face with a spirit bear. There he was walking across the forest with a salmon in his mouth, and he literally laid down about 50 feet in front of me and started eating the salmon, and I'll never forget that moment. I never heard stories of it, and so when it actually came in front of me and it laid down, it was so neat because the sun actually bust out, you know, came out, and there's the spirit bear, pure white coat, and he was just sitting there eating the salmon, and you can see all the blood on his face from the salmon. And it was certainly a very magical moment, and kind of helped propel me into sticking with tourism. And certainly, it was an unforgettable moment. So.
Yeah, it's clearly seared onto your brain every moment, and it seems quite magical. And I understand that you've actually had an experience in terms of seeing a bear hunted and what was left when you were out with a tour group.
Yeah, and that's what really propelled me. You know, as I started tourism, in the late 90s, and my job was to kind of help build an ecotourism operation. And we had clients from all over the world, and I remember my first dead bear. We were walking, we saw this dead bear. We saw something in the river. We walked over and looked, and sure enough, it was a grizzly bear. He had his head chopped off, and his fur was gone, and the paws were gone. And so someone had just taken it for a trophy. He left the rest of the bear there. And that's what really kind of inspired me to get more involved and start doing more work and start speaking for these animals that unfortunately don't have a voice. So.
For people who don't know, what is the significance of these bears to your own Kitisew Haye-Haye First Nation, but also other local Indigenous people?
Yeah, spirit bear is very important in our part of the region. There's a few communities that revere it as a very sacred animal. We use it as part of our culture, part of our song and dance groups. We have our spirit bear dance group that's named after it. And also, I would say it's not just important culturally, but also in terms of economics. I mean, we built a tourism lodge, and this is one of the only places in the world that you can come and view these bears.
That significance, though, and how special spirit bears are, was there a reluctance because of that to speak about them and to look into them?
Yeah, well, you know, in the past, I mean, I remember after I had my first encounter with the spirit bear, and I remember I came back to Clemson and I went to go talk to the elders and ask them to tell me a bit more about the spirit bear. And I asked them why. They never really talked about it. And so a lot of the elders said that they were worried at the time of the fur trade. You know, they were very, very worried that people would hunt them. And so they never really spoke of it and didn't want people to know about it. So it was kind of a big secret up until, you know, kind of the late 90s. Nobody really knew about spirit bears. you know, but today's day and age, you know, I think we're starting to shift our focus and starting to be a bit more vocal with it, because I think these bears are under a number of threats. You know, I think, you know, there's still issues around forestry. There's major decline in salmon. There's still trophy hunting of and resident hunting of black bears, which could carry the recessive gene that produces these bears. Global warming. So they've seen a lot of different changes, and obviously we want to make sure that we protect them.
So is your sense that this research that you've done will actually help protect the spirit bears better?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just think that there's a lack of science out there, and there's a lot of people that make decisions on how many bears can hunt, on forestry issues, on commercial fishing, they're facing so many threats, and, you know, there's not a lot of science. There's no gumboots on the ground when it comes to government science out here, so we thought we would drive the science ourselves. We would do the science. It's all peer-reviewed science, but we also merged that science with First Nations knowledge, and hopefully are able to provide some strong information to decision makers.
So what's the next step for you now that this research is done?
Well, at the end of the day, science is just information. I mean, we're still going to have to take this back to the government tables, and we want to push for stronger protections. Whether that's Indigenous protected areas, it could be community stewardship areas, it could be a conservancy. But, you know, I still think we're in the early stages. I think we're going to take this science and go and hopefully talk about some new protected areas.
Well, Mr. Nieslas, thank you for sharing some of the secrets of the spirit bears with us. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Goodbye.